because it's time to hear from ESPN.com's SEC insider, Edward Ashoff, who's here to tell you all you need to know about what's up and who's going down in the SEC.
All right, we go to the Revolution Hotline, where tomorrow night you can catch Boom Kinetic as fans start to settle in for the big festivities for Razorback football, War Memorial. Edward, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm in Boulder, Colorado, getting ready for the Central Arkansas-Colorado game on Saturday. Last night, I was walking around downtown Boulder, and there was a young man in a Mustang blaring this song. And I tried to sing along, but then I realized I didn't know the words. But I wouldn't even have known the song if it wasn't for you, so I appreciate that. You're always broadening my limited horizons, my friend.
There you go.
Then I saw a couple of guys smoking something that you wouldn't normally see people smoking, but we are in Colorado, and apparently it's all fine up here. So, anyway. We had a full evening. Okay, so week one for Brett Bielema, and by all accounts, the man and his team passed the test.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty good opener for Arkansas because they were able to do the things that Bielema wanted to do. And obviously, you have to look at the opponent, but I mean, Louisiana Lafayette was not a team that people really slept on last year. They almost beat Florida in the swamp. Florida needed some late-game heroics by Jacoby Brissett, and then that blocked punt by Luchez Purifoy, which was returned by John Bostic, or Jelani Jenkins, to win the game. And Arkansas didn't need that. Just steamrolled right over the Raging Cajuns. Definitely think that Arkansas has a little bit of a running game. I mean, this was something that I was interested to see how the offensive line kind of perform. And when you rush for almost 300 yards, two guys get over 100 yards rushing and well over 100 yards rushing. I think Arkansas got a little bit of a duo in Jonathan Williams and Alex Collins. I liked what I saw from Brandon Allen. I wasn't asked to do too much and threw three touchdowns, 230 yards. So I still think that, like Tennessee, who blew out Austin Peay, Arkansas still kind of wait-and-see mode. What are they going to do once the opponents start to get better? And the good news for Arkansas is you have some tune-ups before having to go play Rutgers and going through that gauntlet of an SEC schedule. So the confidence should be riding high in a couple of weeks as long as they stay the course as they are right now. But I was impressed. I didn't think Arkansas would score as many points, but you know they really did very, very well moving the ball on the ground.
Yeah, I think most fans were very pleased. And Brandon Allen, I mean, the passing game was a little bit further along than I expected. And we heard about, you know how it is, man. When you don't get to see practice, you hear about all kinds of things from the coaches, which is a little bit frustrating for us in the media. And for fans, you never know if you can believe it or not. But we heard all about this efficiency and how good he's looked. And, you know, certainly they felt, you know, good enough to let Brandon Mitchell transfer. And I guess settle out the quarterback debate early. But he didn't do anything to disappoint, I don't think.
No, and it's a good sign that, you know, he was looking at his tight end a lot because he's probably going to have to do that throughout the season. Checkdowns are going to be his saving grace. So that's going to be his security blanket there once he starts playing teams with a better pass rush, with better cornerbacks, better linebackers. And Hunter Henry did pretty well, 5 catches, 75 yards. I thought he looked pretty good. I think that the next step is kind of expanding the passing game. They know they're going to be able to run the ball right now. I mean, the teams that they're playing, they should be able to run, maybe not put up the numbers they did in the first week, but they should be fine on the ground. It's now about opening up that passing game and letting Brandon Allen be more comfortable back there. I think if you can get that going into the second month of the season, that's pretty big for this team.
I agree. What anything that concerned you, anything that stood out to you as you know, something they definitely need to work on these next few non-conference games?
I think that you know generating that pass rush is once you get an SEC play, that's what you have to do. And I think that any team at this point in the season wants to start building that confidence. I think a great example is Florida. I mean, this is a team that generated more pass rush in the first week than they were really used to last season. And you think, wow, that's kind of weird when you consider the defensive line they had. But they made sure, hey, one reason that they struggled in the second half against Georgia defensively as far as stopping Aaron Murray from making a couple plays late was they just didn't generate enough pressure. That's what I think Arkansas, that's the next step. You know, keep generating pressure, make sure that defense is as aggressive as they want it to be. They want to be just as physical up front on the defensive side of the ball as they are on the offensive side of the ball. And I think they passed that test, but it's all about staying consistent and being able to get after the quarterback because you have to do that in SEC play. And I think, I'm pretty sure they're playing a guy early in the year who was known for running around a little bit at the quarterback position. So if you can keep an eye on him, you'll be all right.
Edward Ashoff of ESPN.com joining us in the zone on the Revolution Hotline. Obviously, some good performances last week, a couple of really good games. The Ole Miss-Vanderbilt game did not disappoint. A couple of games that were not quite so good. But this week we got some great matchups. In conference, the biggest one, obviously, Georgia-South Carolina, two teams who are looking to take an early lead in the East. And, you know, for Georgia, trying not to go 0-2. It wasn't a shock they lost to Clemson last week, but to lose this week and start out 0-2 would be a huge disappointment for them. How do you see that one playing out, and what did you make of Jadeveon Clowney and all the hubbub around him taking plays off last week?
Well, I don't think you're going to see him be as tired this weekend as he was last weekend. And I'm not one to say that the first week is how we should judge any team. I mean, Georgia is a great example of that. A couple of years ago, they lost their first two games of the season and then went and played for the SEC title. And if they won that game, who knows where they would have ended up at the end of the season. So I think that when you look at Jadeveon Clowney's performance, everybody's going to nitpick because we all expected a huge opening night from him. And he was actually pretty disruptive. And he had a lot of pressures against North Carolina when he was in the game. He just wore down. And, yeah, a lot of people are going to look at conditioning and say that, you know, he gave up on some plays. But I just think that he came out so jacked up. He was reportedly sick before the game, the night before, and just lost a lot of energy. I don't think you're going to see that. I think they're going to pump him full of Gatorade here in the next few days. The advantage he's going to have is that Georgia offensive line just did not look good against the Clemson defensive line that is not on par with what South Carolina has. So I think you have Chaz Sutton, you have Kelsey Quarles. They're going to help take some attention away from him. You cannot double-team Jadeveon Clowney anymore because of how good South Carolina's defensive line is. And that's an issue. He has played very well against Georgia in the past. I just don't see that dropping off this weekend. I don't think you're going to see the same Jadeveon Clowney you saw last weekend. And if Georgia, obviously it's key to get away from him on offense, and that offensive line has to be better. They have to find somebody who can replace Malcolm Mitchell. I think the first place you look is Michael Bennett, who's coming off an ACL injury, ironically, from last season. But I think if Georgia's going to win this game, they have to tackle better. 10 missed tackles last week. Clemson had 112, I believe, rushing yards after contact last week against this Georgia defense. We knew they were going to be out of position. We knew they would struggle. But I didn't think that they would be not as technically sound as they were. I mean, you cannot miss tackles like that. And, yeah, they're going to get better. Corey Moore, Josh Harvey, Clemens are both coming back. But you cannot be hesitant against a guy like Mike Davis, the running back spot. I think he could have a big game this weekend. I have South Carolina. I think South Carolina goes in there and wins.
Really? Okay. Well, that's a little bit surprising for me. Gus Malzahn and his team did not look overly impressive. They did get a win last week. ASU clearly outmatching UAPB in its opener last week under new head coach Brian Harsin. Should Auburn be on upset alert this week?
It's certainly one of those games where I think people are going to say if there's a chance for a big upset outside of Western Kentucky, here it is. But I don't think so. I think Auburn's going to be fine. I think now, okay, it's kind of like Arkansas. We know we can run the ball, but can we throw it more consistently? And I think that's where Gus Malzahn is really going to harp on things this week heading into the game. Can they make sure that Nick Marshall is more comfortable in the pocket? He clearly wasn't as comfortable as maybe they thought he would be, considering, you know, the compliments that coaching staff was giving him coming out of fall camp. But I think now it's all right. Let's find our second read. Let's go through our progressions. Let's do that. This is a chance for them to do it. I'm sure those Arkansas State players are going to be pretty fired up to face Gus Malzahn, but I don't see it happening. I kind of have Auburn winning big, and 38-20 is what I put on the blog today. But I think that you're going to see more development out of that defense this weekend. It's going to be an interesting offense, but the good news is that Gus Malzahn's pretty familiar with everything that he's going to see.
Edward Ashoff joining us on the Revolution Hotline from ESPN.com. You can catch all of his predictions online on the SEC blog, him and his colleague Chris Lowe breaking down every SEC game this coming weekend. And one of those games, Edward, is Miami and Florida, your alma mater. And I know that's one that is getting a lot of a lot of hype down there in the Sunshine State for a non-conference game. Talk about how important this game is for a team like Florida, an SEC team that lost a lot on defense, but they have some talent there, and really still some questions on offense. I know Matt Jones returns this week, right?
He does, and that's going to be big for him. I think that I know Brent Peace kind of went off the media this week, and if he reads the blog, maybe I'm the one who set him off because I kept saying how vanilla that offense was. But if that wasn't vanilla for Florida, then this team's going to have problems this year because they opened it up a little bit. You saw some bigger plays down the field, but it certainly wasn't what I think a lot of people were hoping to see from a Brent Peace offense in year two. And clearly, it's game one. Matt Jones wasn't there. They weren't sure what they were going to get out of Mac Brown, really. But he was impressive. I think that you're going to see a more open offense. I think Matt Jones and Mac Brown back there are going to give Jeff Driskel exactly what he needs as far as a compliment. I think you're going to see them beat those corners that Miami has. I mean, this was the worst defense in the ACC last year, and they returned 9 starters. So not a lot has changed as far as personnel. It's all about, all right, did they learn anything? Did they develop? And I think they'll be better. I don't see Florida scoring a lot of points in this game, but I do think that Florida's defense is going to be the difference. Getting Luchez Purifoy back is going to be big. Getting Antonio Morrison back is going to be big. Duke Johnson, he averages a 50-plus yard carry every other game. Florida hasn't allowed but 2 50-plus yard runs in the last 10 years. That's the best in the country. I don't see that trend stopping anytime soon. I think Florida's defense shuts down Duke Johnson. And this is a big one. If Florida loses this game, I think you could see them kind of go into a little bit of a tailspin because this is a team that was so close to the national championship appearance last year. They're a field goal away in that Notre Dame game from going and playing Alabama in the national championship. And that's what they want this year. They think that they have the horses to do it, even though a lot of people aren't sure what the offense is going to look like. So if Florida loses this game, I think you could see some confidence get hit. It's not going to affect them in the standings or in the win-loss column, but I think it'll affect them mentally going into SEC play.
I love a tailspin when you're talking about Florida. I just have this image of Gator-nado instead of Shark-nado. I could just see it. It would be so awesome. Gators flying here. That actually is a little more believable to me than Sharknado, because gators actually could crawl around on the streets eating people. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Sharknado, let's make the movie.
That's very true.
Maybe they'll make
an appearance in Sharknado 2, which I believe is New York.
That's a way better concept than Sharknado. It's like, and you know.
And it looks like we lost Justin there. Edward, are you still there?
I am.
All right, Edward, sorry about that. Chris Kane in studio. Justin is out in Boulder, Colorado this weekend, getting set for the UCA-Colorado game. But we appreciate you coming on today, man. And as we mentioned earlier, ESPN.com, you can check out the SEC blog for more information on everything that you guys do. I know you and Chris kind of picked some different games. One more question for you before you go, Edward. Western Kentucky and Tennessee. Last week we saw Western get a win against an SEC school. It was a lower tier football school in the SEC. What about Tennessee this weekend? What do you see here with a very good offensive line for Butch Jones going up against, you know, a defense that we know is pretty talented for Western Kentucky?
I think it's about establishing the pass, and they're going to be able to run the ball pretty well. Kentucky was able to do it last week, and I think that, you know, Rajon Neal is a guy who's probably more talented than what Kentucky has at running back right now. So I think Tennessee with that line going to be able to run, but, you know, like a couple of these other teams, you're working in a young quarterback, got to be able to throw the ball, and I think that this is a chance for Justin Worley to kind of get that offense going a little bit through the air. I think that's the key thing. If they're going to beat Western Kentucky, which is going to give them everything and to throw the kitchen sink at them, they've got to be able to throw it, and I think you're going to see that. It'll be a tighter game than I think fans want it to be in Knoxville, but I think Tennessee comes out on top of this one. Won't score a ton of points. They're going to win this one.
Okay.
Sorry about my technical issue there. One last thing before we let you go, Edward. I don't know if Chris already asked. Did you guys talk about A&M at all?
No.
Everybody made a big deal about, you know,
who's
Manziel's
that?
Antics.
A&M.
I don't really care. What's that?
Keep going.
Anyway, I don't want to talk about Manziel's antics. I just want to talk about his actual performance when he was in there. What did you did he look like the Johnny of old, or did you see anything that concerned you? He didn't run much, I know.
I was actually pretty impressed with the way he looked. Granted, it's Rice's defense, whatever, but for someone who is known more for what he did outside of the football field and away from campus during the entire offseason, he looked like a quarterback who took the time to learn some things during the offseason, and he went through his progression. He checked down. He didn't lock on to receiver. He didn't think run first. I thought he looked good throwing the ball, and I think that's a good sign going forward. If I'm Johnny Manziel, I concentrate on that more this weekend than trying to run. We know that he can run. But you could see when the pocket was breaking down, he said, okay, who's my second option? Who's my third option? And that's good. It's going to get easier for him this weekend because Sam Houston State isn't Rice. But it's going to be a lot tougher next week when Alabama comes to town. So I think being able to throw the ball is going to be big as far as his development in year two. And I thought he looked good.
Yeah, and the way he went through his progressions of Rice players to taunt, I thought was awesome, too. And he could say, okay, I got this guy. I know I'm going to go to this guy. I'm going to taunt him over here with the autograph. Then I'm going to give this guy the scoreboard blast. I mean, the way he went through his taunt progression was incredible.
He'll learn one day. He won't be doing that against Alabama. And if he does, it's going to come back to haunt him.
Yeah.
They're late in that game. But I don't know. Hopefully, I had this conversation with a bunch of Texas A&M fans on Twitter. And they were saying, oh, well, Tim Tebow did it. It's a little different. And they know it's a little different. But
that's his deal. He's a swagger guy, and that's his swagger. And my whole point was, why are you wasting your time taunting Rice guys? You should taunt people that matter. Rice isn't really worthy of a taunt. You should do it with teams that are actually good and that could actually beat you. So I'm
just walk over to the sideline.
Or that's an option. That's an option. You know, hey,
there
sure. Classy. Classy's the way to go. That's another option. He doesn't typically go that route, but anyway, it was funny watching everybody freak out about it. But bottom line is, if they keep winning games, I don't think anybody's going to care.
Yeah,
Edward,
exactly.
Always good catching up, my man. Thanks for the predictions. Some eye-opening calls on some of these games. I'm curious to see if your predictions come true. Me personally, I was 7-0 last week. Not to brag, but just saying.
I lost that one, Western Kentucky and Kentucky. I expected more.
Yes. And I told you before.
Did not play well.
What did I tell you when he got hired? I expect less. My bold prediction is he will never make a bowl game at Kentucky.
Oof.
I could be wrong.
We'll
Edward,
see.
Thank you so much. We'll catch up next week.